Maybe we were.
My apologies. Alan and I, episode 8, welcome y'all. Just talked for 41 seconds and didn't realize that we weren't on.
It was the best 41 seconds of our podcasting, and you blew it big time.
We were harmonizing. We'd found the answer to life.
Crazy.
It's all gone now.
Oh, man, this is exciting. This is a seminal moment.
This is taking it to the next level, I feel like, where, you know, tonight's guest, as we said last week, is Arnie Heller, who is a great Swago figure. Was a head counselor, but
he's got a lot to talk about with us.
I think
the Swago people will really want to know his insights on a couple of key subjects.
Definitely, because he's sort of the elder statesman now, right? I mean, I'd love to get.
He didn't go to the camp, so to be
you're sure
elder
about,
state,
you sure about
well,
that?
Well, we aren't actually. We discussed that last time.
I think we're hopeful
that you're listening to a good quality production right now.
Yeah, this time I'm confident they are. I'm going to be bold and be cocky and say, like, they are listening to a good quality podcast at this point. And this is the key thing, is that we're doing the phone thing tonight. And we tested that out.
Seems
to be working okay. Yeah. Listen, maybe there's like a hiccup or two, but, like, I don't know. I think we're ready for it. I think we're ready for this next level of entertainment.
Our technological capabilities have expanded by a magnitude this evening.
Magnitude.
All right. Well, it's good to be clear, and I'm just going to count on the fact that we're crisp and clear to our people.
Absolutely, man.
I woke up this morning. I literally could not stand up. I've never had that with my lower back problems where I couldn't. I've had neck shit. You know, do you ever get like you just sleep wrong on your neck?
Kink in the neck. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they call it a kink. That seems like such a fucking soft word.
It is.
You can't
downplays what it is.
It does. You can't even turn your head, like, right. But like 50% of the way it's supposed to go. Like, it's not
place,
a kink.
And it's the only place you get a kink. You don't get a kink anywhere else. So it's sort of like, all right, for the neck, we're just going to sort of, you know, downplay it and make it like it's nothing to worry about.
It's a little
about.
Kink in the neck.
Oh, but it hurts, and I can't turn.
Well, I've gotten that in my life, and there's an easy way to solve that for those out there that might have the kink in the neck.
What is that?
You just got to sleep on one flat pillow. Like, you can't, like, extend your head up. Like, if you do, it starts stretching that muscle out and fucks it up. You get into a position. So I woke up. I couldn't fucking even stand up.
Out of nowhere. You didn't feel it go?
Out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Although, all right, not out of nowhere. 2 days ago, I woke up. I was a little sore in my lower left back. Mm-hmm. But I could stand up. I just stretched a little. I got going. I worked out yesterday. Did these sit-ups with a medicine ball.
Look at that.
Oh, fuck yeah. I go at it. I box, baby. I love it.
That's right.
Yes.
We got to post that highlight of you, man. There's one Alan sparring, hitting a guy with a right, which is...
It was a nice right.
It was a nice right.
Nice solid right. His head was rocked. I love sparring. I love
fighting.
Sucker's
got brain damage.
We'll get into that another time, because I go 3 or 4 days a week, I'm fighting. I love it. Mm. I mean, I'm not fighting. I don't want to make it sound like a fucking
ass,
Brad Pitt in the Fight Club. You know, we don't even put gloves on. I kick his ass raw.
Tried to hit me with a hook before. I had a duck.
Hey, I'm quick for a big man.
Powerful.
I do a little bit of the holy of the Mayweather style.
Yeah,
you know, I really keep my shoulder out there. You got to get past
that
shoulder.
How fucking good is he, man?
He's amazing. I mean, he just literally lures the other fighter into his game plan and just smacks you. You see, I love when he goes on the ropes. He just slides out of it and hits you on the way out. He's fucking an amazing.
Yeah, he
fighter.
Makes you miss and hits you with great accuracy. I mentioned this. Like, I feel like people don't rate him as highly as they should because he's not...
Because there's no one else around right now.
Not only that, but he's not aggressive at all.
Well, he's a strategic counterpuncher. I'm not saying he doesn't ever take initiative, but he's a counterpuncher for sure.
Counterpuncher for sure, but never takes chances. He's always maximizing his chances of winning the fight. And the longer the fight goes and the more rounds he's got under his belt, the less chances he takes.
I'm not sure.
And I don't blame him for that. Like,
no,
it's a smart way of, you know, what you should do that when all said and done.
Well, I actually did pay-per-view that fight. We chatted about it. It's $75.
That's
a
little
much,
man. The
guy made $44 million.
I know. Can you bring
minimum.
That shit down to $40? You know, then I'd feel okay.
You know what, though?
70.
It's just one of those things where it's like there's X people that are interested in it. It's likely that we just have to charge as much as we can to those X people that will fucking buy it, because if they do lower the price, it won't add a lot more viewers. It'll be just marginal. So, hey, whatever. That's the economics of it. But
I feel compelled.
You know what? And then they fucking play it the next week on Showtime, and I'm like,
yeah, but that's, you know, that's
I know,
not
you know,
at all
the outcome. I know.
It's
I
not
know,
all the
I
same
know.
Thing.
So let's move past boxing, because I have a feeling if we're trying to broaden our audience, Steven Swatona.
Well, you don't remember the boxing club at Swago?
How that would have been cool if we had fucking boxing.
Right. Put a ring.
Other than Popkin
where would you put the ring?
And Jim.
Where would you put the ring?
Outdoor ring, I think, would be the best, don't you?
Do you? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I think you're right. Maybe, how about in the back? All right, Alan. I thought Alan's levels were getting a little loud. I waved him off a little bit. He just came back, waved me off. Shit's getting personal.
All right, man.
I'd put it in the back of the social hall where Klausen used to sleep.
Klausen slept back there? I just remember that flashlight guy sleeping back there.
That dude, he slept
Klausner
there too.
Klausner slept in that little kind of funky
thing. That guy
thing.
Was creepy, wasn't he? Flashlight.
Yeah, that's why they call it a flashlight. I don't even know what's creepy about the word flashlight.
No, but he was creepy. I think because he walked around with his flashlight all the time. Yeah. Right? He was like an HQ. He was like a permanent HQ guy.
This is probably
when
you were Eagle Ranger.
This was early on. 76.
Yeah, this is early on.
You know
on.
What? We should ask Arnie about him because I think Arnie was the head counselor when.
I was surprised to hear you tell me that you even went to camp while Arnie was in camp.
I mean, that'd be crazy if I didn't, and I sort of made all that up, and I'm positive. I mean, and I'm 80% sure it was 76, and maybe it was 77, but
maybe
I'm pretty sure
it was
76.
Maybe you just fantasize about Arnie being in your Swago life.
First guy to rock the goatee. Really was.
You know? It's so true. And
other than Satan.
And he's been really committed to it. I wonder, Arnie was a style leader, I guess.
Yeah, and he was like a... attractive cool. man back in the day. You know, if I could say that in a very sort of 12-year-old, you know, admiring a man's beauty.
Jesus.
All heterosexual.
Where are we going with
that? That's it. I'm comfortable enough where I can say that.
You know, I recall Arnie from day one. I mean, unless I'm not remembering correctly, Arnie was head counselor in 1972, my first year. There were a lot more adults back then. I know that might sound like a weird comment, but it seemed like my group leader was a man by the name of Henry Cash. And his wife lived with him in the back. And Henry Cash was just this very nice man. And, he wore like your classic kind of camping pants, like the flat front and just like the chino down to above his knees and a neat little shirt with a belt. Exactly. All right. And Henry Cash, and I remember him insisting that, and this is, let's see, 72, that makes me 7 years old, that if you exercised, you had to wait a half hour before you could go into the water and cramp.
That wasn't only Henry Cash. That was all of society, right? It was like, no, you got to digest first. Otherwise, you'll cramp up and die.
I believe
the back will go out.
I have to say something. I think that was the same people that are behind global warming.
You know, it's funny.
You can swim 2 minutes later.
Yeah, global warming. I think it, the week after we talked about it, an article came out about how discrediting the science behind it is, or I didn't say that correctly, but apparently the science behind it is not
this
accurate.
It's less credible than
which
than
makes
we are
sense,
led to believe.
Because the scientists who get the grants to do this stuff won't get the grants unless there is global warming. So, yeah, go figure what they're finding.
You know, like we've discussed, we don't have to go down that path too far. Like, who knows the answer.
Path.
I still would make the argument why throw shit into the air if you can avoid it.
Oh, I'm totally with
you. Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you. We'll do that. We're getting there.
So we've got a series of what I think are going to be just defining moments for this
Alan's
podcast.
Alan's curated the finest guests for our podcast.
You were the one who reached out to Arnie.
I'm saying that jokingly only because I've got some. And it's not, and I'm not saying that because
are
I'm
you
not.
Annoyed because I didn't
no,
say we?
No, I thought it was funny. Here, when we listen back, you'll see what I'm saying. There's no annoyance. I thought it was funny that you said, you know, I think we've really got some good entertainment.
You're being soft.
Listen, man, you know what? That's a compliment.
It's Krause's birthday today, by the way.
I wish
happy,
happy
birthday, Robert.
And I do. I love Robert. I really do. That whole thing was a big learning experience.
There was no whole thing. It was nothing. It was nothing. It
I mean whole thing in a generic sense. I don't mean whole thing.
So we've got Arnie Heller this evening, just to move along. What time is he calling in?
I got to call Arnie at 6 to check in.
What time is it right now?
It is 553 or 558.
We have
553.
We have a committed date for end of Swago podcast, and that is October 8th, I believe.
Tuesday, October 8th, we'll be doing
the podcast.
Why
does Mark think that that's a Friday?
He was in November rather than October.
That kid cannot stay in the right fucking month
calendar,
on his Outlook calendar.
Calendar.
It happens to me all the time. It's fucking, this technology is harder to use than we think.
Me too.
It's just not as easy.
I think you
got to learn too much. That's my problem with it. I 80-20 everything or 20-80 everything.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, my smartphone, which can do 10 billion things, it does two things for me, emails and phone calls and surfing the web.
Nice.
All right, that's being short.
I bet it's more than you think.
Fair enough.
And it's a music player.
I have four or five
your
apps.
Your calculator.
And my LinkedIn to see how many people listen to Ski Slope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use it for a calculator.
You don't?
Not so often.
No.
I don't find myself turning to my mobile device for that.
All right. Wow, you have a separate music player.
Music? You said calculator, didn't you?
Oh, shit.
Music, I use my Rhapsody.
To me, music.
People are pulling me to Spotify. I think I'm going to roll with it.
Let me know what you think, because I tried it one time, and I had a sign on through Facebook, and then all of a sudden everything I was listening
to posted on
Facebook.
No, I won't do it if it does that. That's inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way to shut that off.
I'm sure there is. That's just not appropriate that I need to announce every fucking song that I listen to. No doubt. Although
I'd like it for my own personal history. Like, I almost feel like Facebook and that stuff is good that way. If you can keep, like, this is one thing I've been doing musically, and it's in line with this, is I started this last December, is anytime, like, a song hits me, okay, like, and it doesn't have to be a popular song now, it could be, like, Linda Ronstadt song from 1968.
That you know from
and that I like at that particular time for a day or so. I add it to, like, my, September, like, right now, September 2013 playlist.
So you make playlists around months.
For months.
And it's just that you just... But that's not really a playlist. That's just I'm adding music that caught my interest.
But I think in time it is, because now, like, when I look back in retrospect, at February 2012, it does sort of resonate.
You know, you've always sort of gone... You've made a few comments to me about that, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool? This is before Facebook reorganized. You said to me, wouldn't it be cool if they allowed you to sort of just output somehow the history of everything you've done? And it's effectively, and I get this, like you're keeping a scrapbook on your entire social
gear. Yeah, if they printed like an incredible, like beautiful, artful tabletop book of your year on Facebook, you know, and obviously the video stuff is sort of hard to do.
Well, of course.
But it would be a good gift to get somebody.
Okay, that's interesting. I was going to go in a slightly different direction and just say that after you made that comment to me, they did make Facebook that timeline kind of a thing. But frankly,
Zuckerberg's listening.
Well, we didn't podcast then, but
he was still listening.
Nonetheless, I still would, you know my feelings about it. I still don't have a lot of interest in creating that timeline. It doesn't mean that much to me. It's not authentic to me. It's not real. It's not truly representative of who I am, because I kind of feel like in order for that to be the true representation of your social being, mm-hmm, you have to be 100% active in it, right?
The more you put into it, the more you get back from it, right?
And
it's a hard balance to find.
You're noticing like a ton more news feed ads now.
Ton
more.
I'm getting this one guy. Who's
I love it, by the way. This is what I do for a fucking living.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you're digging that. But I get this one ad every day for like, you know, if you're over 40, like what's the secret of like, you know, it's just like big muscles and stuff like that, and some old man like, you know, making a muscle with his bicep. And it's like,
have you bought?
How many times? I've not. How many times am I going to have to see that before they're like, all right, he's not interested?
Frequency capping, like re-showing you ad after ad, is a slight problem.
I will.
It's difficult to really do proper. Even when people want to do it, but you know.
There was an ad on Facebook that I actually did click through, and
there we go. What'd you do?
It was, I forget what the name of the product is, but it's these little tags, I guess, that you can put on into your wallet or on your keys or your computer, and then it you're able to trace it using your phone.
Right,
I guess
right.
It emits a signal, and you can find it.
I've heard about
that. And I thought it was, wow, this is a really interesting
cool
product.
Little item.
Yeah, but it was for Mac only at this point.
Right,
it wasn't ready for Android, so I bailed on it.
They don't go for Android, but you almost bought.
I almost bought.
You know what I get?
One time I was incentivized by a Facebook.
What I find really, interesting is being in the advertising industry, digital advertising, that if you knew the number of times people told me that advertising doesn't affect them at all.
We said this first podcast.
We did. Yeah. And it's amazing to me that people just don't recognize, Google only makes money when you click. There have been $6 billion or whatever of that last quarter. So people just don't recognize it. I've read all of the Malcolm Gladwell books. Maybe we discussed this before, but you know, the basic concept of what people say they do and what people actually do are very, very different.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's why I never really give credence to the psychology tests where they ask you to, rate what, 1 through 5, how you feel about something.
Please.
Like, really? Like, that's science?
Yeah,
like, that's
well, that was Gladwell's argument about focus groups as well.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're not true constructions.
Exactly. Catch me when I'm not looking.
So after Arnie this evening, which is awesome, we're really excited.
We have Bert Convy on, I think, right?
Well, Bert, he's got his really wide tie on. From what was the show that the fucking guy did?
Tattletales? No. What was it?
Bert Convoy? Convy?
We got a great what's Bert his name Convoy. Again? Bert Convy.
Bert Convy looks like Ernie Anastas.
He does. They're the same guy, right?
I think Bert Convy is Ernie Anastas' dad.
Dude, of all the things that have ever been posted to Facebook, like when you posted it was the Ernie Anastas keep fucking that chicken clip.
What?
You remember that?
Oh, that was funny.
That was hysterical. That was one of the great YouTube clips on that somebody turned me on to.
And I'm not much of a poster of those things. I turned you on. I did that, huh? I remember it, but I didn't know I posted it.
The great ones. That was a great one.
Yeah.
The one recently, and people may hate me for this, is when they sort of that San Francisco station reported on the names of the Korean pilots that crashed the plane.
What'd they say?
One guy's name was Somting Wong. And the other guy was like...
Something wrong. That's terrible.
No, and it was like, they took these Asian names and they told like, we too close.
Was it because someone...
They said they had gotten some intern at the FAA.
Somebody
had
was confirmed fucking that with those them? Were the names. Was this like a...
Who knows? Who knows what happened? But they went... I mean, it was a San Francisco Fox affiliate that went on and did this.
Stuttering John or whatever his name is from
right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, you see the woman reading it seriously and you know... That it's a goof and it's hysterical. I mean, it's in poor taste, I suppose, but it's hysterical. So anyway,
A lot of things in poor taste are funny.
Yeah, and that's comes with territory. Yeah, all right, we're gonna pause. You know, enjoy your bugle. I'm gonna call Arnie. We're gonna prep him in our green room, our virtual green room. Rolling with Kid and Play.
Somewhere. You just spoke with Arnie.
We just did a little green room
preamble. I think Arnie is a little nervous. I think he's not quite sure if he's about to get interviewed by Borat.
I told him he didn't have to be.
I think he just did.
I think.
What did he listen to? He was listening to what?
He said he was listening to episode 3. And so he was like, I hope I know what I'm getting into kind of thing. But I was like, no, listen, you're probably listening to episode 3A, first of all.
Which is Ed Burke After Dark, right. Which got a little racy there.
I like that one, though.
It wasn't that bad.
It's funny. Mean, come on. Yeah, it's fun.
Are you going to ask Arnie where Lucy had sex with that sway? I'm sure it was his wife.
I don't know.
Hey, let's let Arnie speak.
Oh, we will. And we may not even ask him that question.
It's likely I will not ask him that question. Good. Just to be clear.
Good. All right. So, it was fun chatting with him and saying like, yeah, here's how it's going to work. We're going to call you back in a little bit. So hopefully
we're 10 minutes or so away. Mm-hmm. From the first call-in guest, Arnie Heller, the first non-Swago camper, we think. This is going to be my first question.
That's like claim to fame. I wasn't a camper.
Well, don't you think there's something relevant about that? Somebody who never actually was a camper and is so meaningful as just from the owner's side?
I kind of think like if you're the camper, it just adds to it. It adds to the lore or the legacy. I don't think there's anything special about it.
I don't think that many campers go on and be head counselor.
No, probably not. I bet like at Equinox somebody's done that. Like Ed Burke said, Ed Burke would be head counsel now if Swago's still here.
Fair enough.
You know? So, yeah, I would imagine, that does happen. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a distinction that because you weren't a camper that somehow wins you.
No, it just makes it points. A different perspective. No, points. This is not a contest. It just gives you a little perspective that's a little different. So let me just finish.
His power rating, Swago Legacy, is down to 971.
He's got a 3 on Yelp. Arnie's got it on his personal Yelp page.
Talk to
me. So I was saying that we have... Arnie tonight, which is awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were we
about
never
a week.
We have
about 2 weeks from now or so. A week,
October 8th.
October 8th. So call it the 9th.
Right, right. Well, it'll be
for
up
your
on
listeners.
Ninth, unless you want to come here live, we're selling tickets.
We have got a great episode planned called "The End of Swago." We've talked about it. We haven't promoted anything quite as much as
I
this.
Smell Emmy.
I do. If this was the Emmys right now, I'd be playing the music to turn
you
off.
Are there podcast awards? Are there anything? Is there anything?
I would be shocked if there aren't.
Okay.
Quite frankly, for Swago people don't allow us to be don't promote us and push us to be winners of best new podcast. I'll be very fucking disappointed.
Yeah, you guys gotta put your oar in the river and do a J stroke on that one.
I was about to say something here, and I realized how moronic it is that I was about to say it, but I was like to say, hey, if anybody wants to ask Arnie a question, you know, why don't you just call in and tell us?
But well, you know what you could do?
You're
if you
gonna
do.
Be hearing this. I did it on Facebook earlier.
Yeah, why don't we say, you ask the people if they have a question to...
No, I just said Arnie's coming on soon. Do you want to go online right now and do that?
Yeah, why don't we try full interactivity right now? Why don't we go...
We're going to pause. You have your computer. You know how to do this.
Yeah, I'm a little...
Do you know how to use that? Do you know how to use that thing called
What's
Facebook?
This control button?
http://.
You know, this World Wide Web. Remember? That was a great name.
The World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web. And everyone was walking around talking about that. I'm going to the Camp Swago group. Connection's a little slow here, man.
It's beautiful, by the way, in New York.
Oh, God.
This is my favorite kind of weather.
It's really cold this morning.
It was crisp.
Went out with a dog.
Maybe that's what fucked up my back.
Maybe.
That I couldn't even stand straight.
Yeah, how's the back feeling now?
Oh, the Vicodin helped.
Oh.
Uh-oh. This is another first. A Vicodin. A Vicodin
fuel podcast?
Exactly. Well, just for one of the podcasters. Yeah.
All right. Oh, people have liked and commented.
Already?
About it.
Yeah, my comment. What did they say?
Hang on. Let me get my...
Isn't this beautiful? Like, we're talking to you and Waz typing in on Facebook. There's so much, like, digital communication going on.
Probably.
Can you hear my typing? Yeah, I hear it. So we have the end of Swago, and then we have one. While Waz looking this up, I have some more great news. We've got our great friend, Larry M. Jacobson, coming on to the podcast.
Yeah, we've booked him for October 17th.
Sometime in October. I know he's in town. He's out in from L.A. We're going to hear all about what he's up to. And we're excited about that.
Yeah, then we'll have our entire bunk.
And everyone, you know, we had Eddie and Popkin, and now once we have the snake on, we're going to have everybody. I'm excited.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And then October 20th, I think we're doing a location podcast for Dissipated Face, Popkin's band.
You know my schedule. It wasn't even on my calendar. Did you send me an Outlook calendar?
Susan's going to be like, what? You're doing it again? Like three times in 12 days? I'm like, listen, baby.
Business calls. Yeah, listen, you know, people want to hear. They want to hear.
You go where the money flows, right?
You really do. People want to know what's going on in ski slopes.
All right, so I've just posted to Facebook. Not that this
what's
matters because you're listening to it a day later. Yeah, I just posted on as a comment to what you posted at... as far as Arnie being here, I said, any questions, post on Facebook, ? Which is probably the most illiterate writing ever. We'll be talking to Arnie at 6:20. Maybe I should, I think that's sufficient. So we'll see. We'll see if you have any questions. Well, again, I'm going to announce if you have any questions, but you're not going
to
know.
Yeah, there's just no reason to talk about it.
I mean, you're in a different time. So that's that. Who else should we get on? Oh, we were talking before.
Let's talk Swatona. They've been not neglected, but just naturally the flow hasn't led there yet.
But it should. I think now's the time
Who would you have on? People, if anyone's listening.
I feel like there were two girls groups for us, though. I feel like there was the one girls group, which was Amy Levin, Leslie, Dina Leibowitz, Lori Leipzig, those guys, which we traveled with for most of the time.
Traveled? I don't remember going to the south of France with those guys. There
was that time, the trip to Malaysia.
You know, those two were really great on that on that little river cruise we did on the on the wood raft. It was fucking amazing how they handled the lot.
It was more of a time
the
travel.
Alligators.
You know, it's funny. When you break it down, you think about the time you actually spent with those people. It was probably like what? Because the girls, like when you were younger, it was like one Thursday night for like an hour.
Why you were mentioning that to me earlier, that they haven't been part of it.
But they are. I mean, for the time that you spent with them, they're such a big part of.
I understand
of your
that, but in terms of actual time, it was quite limited.
Incredibly,
until you became a senior,
cross-country bus trip.
And it was almost as if that it was non. It was a non-event in the entire.
Well, what I was about to say is that there's that group, and again, they were like when we were Eagles, they were Debs. When we were Rangers, they were Rangers. And then the other group that came after them.
It would have been weird if we had Debs over at Swago.
I know. Well, how come like Eagles? Cadets. You couldn't have female Eagles.
I think you'd have a female eagle.
So what was with Debs? Why did they have to like
what
depart?
And by the way,
from the bird,
debutantes? Is that really what we were going for there? Debs? Is that debutantes?
No, I don't know.
What else would Debs be?
Yeah, no, it is. It's short for debutantes for sure.
Is that good? Is that a, what does yeah. that mean? What's a
yeah, it's a good name. I thought Debs was a cool name.
Does debutante carry any kind of negative connotation with it?
No, it's all positive, isn't it? It's like what is a debutante ball. Like you're right. a southern rich person's daughter.
Okay,
and,
so that's
and
good.
You're dressed
that's
up what, in a nice dress.
So that's good. That's what
it's
you're
all
saying.
Good. Yeah, it's all yeah. good. I don't know if it's as good as an eagle. You don't fly.
Eagles soar. They don't fly.
I like the Eagles had their own chant, like their own negative chant, that fly away, Eagles fly away. There was no other group
it's
that,
interesting that it was,
dissed with the chant.
Right, and it was inconsistent about what the name of your group was and the type of thing it represented. Eagles mm-hmm. was obviously a bird. But then you had cadets, that was a people-oriented, and in inters, that was just merely a statement about where you were mm-hmm. in the path of your career. You're intermediate now, or whatever that means. You know, you're almost there in seniors, obviously.
You know, it screwed me up for a while, because I thought...
And J, that was the bird again.
Because juniors were this lower group in Swago, I had thought, you know, way after I should have recognized that it wasn't the case, that the order in college in high school was like seniors... sophomores, juniors, freshmen.
Please say that again.
Because juniors were a younger group in Swago okay. for a longer part of my life than I'd like to admit,
right.
I thought the order in high school, hierarchical order, was seniors, sophomores, juniors, freshmen.
Was sophs after juniors at Swago?
No. I'm saying from high school. So right. I was unduly influenced by the fact that juniors in Swago were a younger group.
Okay.
Okay, and I guess sophs were an
yeah,
even
but if you go through
younger
the,
group than that. So I
yeah, no, you, it was right in the same order, I guess.
I guess.
Frosch was younger.
No, it was. It
sophs was older.
That's strange. I'm going to have to take that back. That,
yeah, well, you don't, you know, you can, I think maybe what, and I get this, is that juniors happen so many groups before seniors that maybe you felt like,
high school
there's seven gaps there. What's
high
the deal?
High school should have been seniors, inters, sophomore, freshman. Should just do away with juniors. Go the full Swago.
It's a theory.
Okay.
So are your kids going like Kendall?
We're all over the place. The girls we want to play. Groups. Oh, now we got to go. We've got about
Arnie. We have four more minutes. Just make sure we don't fuck that up. And like Arnie's sitting there by his phone. Where the fuck are these guys?
Mm-hmm.
So is Kendall's in the same grade as Burke, right?
She's in 11th grade.
And
she's an inter.
She is. She's a junior.
That's my inter thing.
This whole thing about going to look at schools is kind of...
Yeah,
well, you did it already.
I already did with Zach. I mean, it was crazy. I dropped off Zach one weekend, and then the following weekend, like, I was looking at schools.
You've already looked at schools?
Yeah, well, she looked at one school.
We're behind the eight ball.
Just one so far.
What school did you look at?
Wesleyan.
That's a nice school.
It is.
It's where Ira Dasa went.
It's what I picture, you know? Yeah. I picture it very frisbee.
Beautiful little liberal arts, beautiful mm-hmm. little campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Burke wants to go to warm weather.
I don't blame the guy. Why not consider that?
Right?
If everything else is equal.
Can't argue with him.
No.
I'm like, I don't care if it's in California. How far of a flight is that? Big deal. It's another
hour
or two.
It's
big
good.
Fucking
good.
Deal.
Collapse on the plane.
All right, let's take a quick little break so we can get all set. We're going to get Arnie on soon. We're really excited, and we'll be back.
All right, we are back.
We are back. This is an interesting moment. We have our first call-in guest, a very special guest, and we'd like to introduce Arnie Heller. Welcome to the Ski Slope.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here. And I'm interested in seeing what you guys have to say.
Well,
so
we're
interview you.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, feel free.
You can ask
to.
Us anything that you want, but I think people would be, you know, we've been babbling on for about seven of these podcasts, so I think
okay.
people would be a lot more interested in hearing about your perspective. And
okay.
So just first, tell us the years, like when were you at Swago?
Okay, I came to Swago as a counselor in 1965. I was an Eagle counselor. I was really angry and upset because when I had interviewed with Dave, I told him I had asked for an older group, and I had come with a buddy, Mike Lustig,
okay.
who's a friend of mine. I don't know if you guys remember him.
I don't. I started in 72, just to get, and I was a you know I was a frosh in 72. And Howie.
Oh, okay, so mm-hmm. he was just there for a couple of years, and then he went on to you know to other things. But so Mike got the older group, the inters, I guess, and that was a group that I wanted. And I was with the Eagles, but it turned out to be a wonderful summer. And Charlie Oakes was my group leader. And the year after that, in 1966, I had to stay home and I was short some college credits, okay. So I had to spend the summer in summer school. But in 67, Dave hired me as a group leader, the Ranger group leader. And then I enjoyed the kids and loved the kids so much, the kids who were Rangers in 67, that I asked to move up to the Inters. And I was the Inter group leader for probably about maybe 6 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like that.
Really?
So let's say from, 66 I was the Ranger, 67, 68, and 9, 70. One summer off, Mike and I went to Europe for the summer. So maybe 72 might have been my last year as a group leader, 73, somewhere around there.
But it was always for the Inters once you became...
Right. I always had the Inters, and Dave liked that a lot. There was a certain stability. In other words, he could always say, let's say Artie Tepper was the senior group leader for about 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And he was, you know, infamous and popular. And I was the inter, you know, group leader, so Dave could go around when he was selling the camp, you know, to people's houses to solicit
yeah,
the kids.
Yeah.
And he would say, okay, when you're 14 years old and you're an inter, you're going to get Arnie. When you're 15 and 16, you're going to get Artie Tepper. You know, I think it was something that he enjoyed very much.
Well, it was real. I think the last generation of that, I mean, I think it just changed after those years. But that's – so when – so – I mean, I don't really remember in 1972 that well. I was 7 years old, but I almost feel like you, I guess you weren't the head counselor yet. I thought you were, but maybe
right,
soon after
been.
You,
you
were.
You know, I'm a little, honestly, I'm a little fuzzy on when I became head counselor. It might have been around 72.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been 72.
I feel like you were the head counselor my first year there. I just whatever. I could. We'll,
okay.
I don't know where we're going to go to what database online, but
right.
we'll confirm.
Here's
this.
What I'm curious about. Like being head counselor seemed to me, at least at the time, like a lot of responsibility. Like how involved were you in organizing all the group's activities? Like, did you get involved in that? Or
that's a great question. Let me tell you, Dave was my mentor, and I used to go when I was head counselor. I would go to his house practically every Saturday the entire year, September until about May. And then in June, I would go up and meet him in the camp every weekend. And I was at that point, I was teaching, you know, of course, also, so I had a full-time job. So how was I involved? He did the group breakup. In other words, he would have the 25 kids in the Rangers, and mm-hmm. he knew exactly how to put, you know, each child in what he felt was the best bunk for that child. Okay, he even had a thing called the sociogram that he...
The sociogram?
He told me that he invented this over here.
He could have gotten $1 billion
wait,
for that
wait,
now
so wait,
on the internet.
Wait, so wait, what was the sociogram? What was that?
A sociogram. But, you know, now I guess you could plug it into a computer and in 2 seconds... You know, you have the answer, but he really had a,
his own risk
stat.
Rating system.
I love it, using the stats.
Yeah, it's great.
And then in the course of the year, I helped him a lot with the programming, and of course he was the boss, and you know, very much so.
You deferred.
I think I helped, you know, a lot, and in the last couple of years, I even went with him a few times to people's houses, you know, to solicit new children for the camp.
Oh,
that's great. And, you know, one of the things I know everybody wants to know is there's always been this, I'm going to say rumor, because I don't think I ever really knew any facts about it, but that this idea that you were interested in purchasing the camp at some point and that it just
right.
didn't go through.
Gonna,
is that true? Like, what's the
truth
there?
Yeah, I'm not going to go too much into it, but I'll tell you my take on it, okay? And, Dave was interested in offering, in having the camp continue, okay, the tradition of Swago. And Paul was interested, Paul Broad.
Right.
And I was interested also very much. And we were going to team up, and the whole plan was that we were going to buy the camp from Dave, okay? And we really almost got, you know, down to the end of the deal. In other words, it was as close a done deal as you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happened was that Dave loved the camp too much.
Mm.
And he just, you know, could not give it up. It was his whole life.
What year was this?
Well, that was probably the year before I left.
Okay. What was your last year, Arnie?
Maybe 77, 76, 77? That sounds right.
Well, I remember, see, I started in 76, and I remember you being my head counselor.
Okay.
At least 1 year.
That might have been, and then I'll tell you what happened. I left, and I'm trying to remember if Paul left also, because we were disappointed. But, you know, in looking back, I kind of understand.
Right.
You know, they just couldn't let go.
And this is a few years before we actually did sell the camp, so it wasn't as though
Well, I'll tell you what happened was that then he hurt himself. And I remember it was a summer when he was riding around in the golf cart, and he was a little bit older, you know, also. And I think at that point, him and his family probably realized that it couldn't go on. And that's when he ended up selling to the guy who lived around the corner.
Yeah, he lived between the camps. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I remember Dave being, like, now that you say the years that you were going through this and making the offer, Dave was still pretty active at that point. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he just, it's almost like you could almost understand it. It's his baby, and he's like, you know, as you go on in years, who wants to just get to that point?
Just could not give it up.
Yeah.
And Paul and I were, you know, we were disappointed, but, you know, that's life. And, you know, it was a shame that he ended up selling it to, you know, the guy who really, as far as...
It didn't work out too well.
Stories that I've heard kind of really ran the camp down and, you know, in a way destroyed it as a camp.
Yeah, we're going to have, we were there when that happened. It was summer of 83. I think he bought it maybe in 81 and then was the owner in 82 and 83 and 84, and that was that.
Right.
But we were there in 83, and that's when, you know, the quote-unquote Swago revolution occurred. Yeah. And we're going to have, like, a podcast on October 8th. We'll probably post it the 9th or the 10th that gets into the details of what happened there. But, I mean, unfortunately for everybody involved, that was it just didn't work out at all. So,
Well, I remember that may have been about 10 years ago, there was some sort of a website somebody put up, and everybody could post stories about the camp.
Right.
Okay. And I remember, and again, these were stories that I really didn't know because I was gone at that time, but I read those stories and, you know, it was like devastating, the guy apparently did such a lousy job with the kids and didn't understand kids and didn't, you know, understand like a Swago tradition or whatever. And, you know, so,
I know it kills us.
It was one of those perfect storms. It was also a difficult time for camps right around that moment. And, it was terrible. I mean, as Howie said, we were there the whole time.
But the shame of it is if you'd gotten through that storm period,
been able to be okay.
You know, if it was around now, like how amazing it would be to send our children there and to go up on visiting day and see my friends, seeing their kids, you know?
You know, and everybody sending them to, I don't know, Tarla Hill or whatever, you know, camps around. Yeah. You know, and it's a tough racket, you know, camp. So it was Dave, that was his full-time, you know, job. And he was the sole owner. I mean, Rita, I'm trying to remember names now.
Yeah, Rita Swedler, right?
Right.
Right, it's Swetona.
Audrey, I think.
Audrey,
yeah.
Okay. You know, ran Swetona. And Dave, had, you know, years before had a partner, and one person would be the inside person, one person the outside person.
Dave had a partner at Swago?
Oh, year before me.
I didn't.
I think
really?
Kaplan, and I think he.
Dave Kaplan.
Oh, interesting.
Does that sound familiar?
And it does.
He bought, my recollection of the history is that he bought, you know, Dave Kaplan out at a certain time, maybe 1940, 1945, you know, somewhere a long time ago. And. You know,
That's all right. We get that happen on our calls.
Don't worry. It keeps it real.
It's live. This is live TV, you know, live audio.
But, you know, such is the story of life.
And so you, did you go to camp yourself ever?
No, I never did. Okay. I was a child of the city of Queens.
Okay.
And my background was I was in the Boy Scouts.
Oh.
So I would go on, you know, camping trips and hiking trips and, you know, as a kid. So that was pretty much my, you know, my summers. But I never went to camp. But when I was 16, I got a job up in the Catskills in the day camp because I always loved working with kids. I always loved being outside, outdoors, you know, an athletic type thing. So I worked in a day camp for 2 years, then I worked in a sleepaway camp up in Connecticut for 1 year, which was really, you know, not a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave hired me, and it was coming into like the Ritz-Carlton.
Really? Huh, how bad was that place before, man?
Yeah, right. It's a perspective on things.
It wasn't so good. A lot of,
because one thing, I don't remember Swago being luxurious. I mean, I love the place, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
Where did you meet Dave?
Well, you know, my recollection is that all the camp owners put out a like an ad, and that you went for an interview, and you could have gone for like, you know, maybe four or five different camps at the same time. And by then, I had palled up with Mike Lustig.
Mm-hmm.
We had met in the day camp a couple of years before. So he was the one who read the ad, and we went down and we met
Just
Dave.
Just an ad.
And,
this is great. Just from an ad. I love it.
Yeah, and the rest, you know, you know, was history.
Could you sense, like, Howie and I... Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Howie and I, you know, we met when we were 12. We're best right. friends. Could you sense the kids had a special bond to Swago? We loved it. I mean, loved it at a level like I just don't even know how to express sometimes.
Right.
Could you see that from the other side?
Absolutely. Not everybody. But
yeah, not everybody, for sure.
You could see that there were so many kids who were closer than brothers. And it was funny because, like what I noticed also, that kids had their camp persona,
mm-hmm.
and then... They had their home persona.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Definitely.
Like you talk about Moose a lot, right?
Right.
So Michael Moose is Moose in Camp Swago, but he would go home to Brooklyn. I don't think he was Moose in Brooklyn. He was, Michael.
Right. Right.
So it's kind of like a funny thing. Everybody
Amazingly, I was called Mwah in both places.
I'm sorry, say again.
I was called Mwah in Swago and in school.
Howard has the distinction of having one of the weirdest nicknames ever created.
Yeah,
so,
don't worry about it, though. Yeah.
But you could tell the kids really loved each other, and they loved their counselors. You know, again, not
mm-hmm.
all of them,
mm-hmm.
but there are counselors who kids were in touch with 10, 15 years after they both lived.
Do you remember Mike Moss?
Sure.
Yeah, he was my counselor for 3 years. And, I mean, he's probably the biggest reason why I love Swago so much. Because,
right.
you know, we were five guys all from the same town. None of us had older brothers. He was our counselor and just
right.
the salt of the earth, greatest guy in the world. And he traveled with us from Rangers, Inters, first-year seniors. And that was a huge part of it.
Now, Michael Morse, I remember as a young kid.
Right.
Okay, like an Eagle... A ranger like that, and as a matter of fact, he was one of the stars of the Swago story.
Well, tell me about that.
Good,
yeah, because I had remembered that you were sort of, I guess, the producer or director
right.
of the Swago story.
Well, I was a photographer, and I'm going to say I'll take producing credit.
All right.
And Cobb, Steve Jacobs, who has just the most amazing sense of humor and just the most amazing way about him. Okay, he would be, let's say, the director, and a lot of the writing, you know, like the bits
mm-hmm.
came from his like warped and crazy mind, if you know what I mean.
Who chose the Moody Blues?
Oh God.
Because that's the only, like, the Moody Blues to me now is the Swago story. Like, that band has never been able to separate itself from that film.
You know who it might have been? I'm trying to think. It might have been Bert, might not have been us. It might have been Bert, Rose,
I got
Woodry's son.
Bert's Buzzards guy, right? The Bert Rosenbluth.
Yes.
Okay.
It might have been him. And I remember, you know, we made the movie and it was like the funniest thing. And I like edited the movie in HQ, like at night. Paul would let me come in there and like
you know,
this was a little 8mm rolls of film. You had to splice them together, and you know, we ended up with a movie about, I don't know, 12 minutes long, something like that. And we were so excited. I mean, it was the funniest thing. We built up like a huge anticipation about it.
What even inspired that? Like, what prompted, hey, let's make a movie and there'll be the Swago story?
You know what? I think it just popped into somebody's mind, and then it might have been was that the year that the weather was bad and it was raining a lot?
This was before both of us. I think this had to be 68,
yeah,
9,
like
70, whatever.
You know, 70.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And we were just like looking for crazy things to do. And I had the...
Better than Bombardment.
The Super 8 movie camera, for some reason I brought it up, you know, to the camp, and then like talking with Cobbs, and he started like going off on bits, you know, like the bit about the there was a thing in the dining hall over there, but outside the dining hall where the kids made a mess,
mm-hmm,
and the
right.
got all upset.
I think Moss
just on and on and on like that, and it just took off.
Yeah.
So it took us about a week to do it, something like that.
Well, it was great because, like, in the later years, if it was a rainy day, like, you know, the,
they'd show it.
Dave, yeah, Dave would have, like, a Marx Brothers movie, but it would always, you know,
be
followed by the Swago story, which was, like, what you would really look forward to. It was, like, you know, get Groucho out of here. I want to see Moss get, like,
and
an egg broken over
his head. What I love about that movie, if you ever see it, if you
where
ever
is it? Like, I'd love to repost this on,
right.
Honestly,
on YouTube at this point.
I have, like, a very nice DVD copy of it.
You do?
Yeah.
I do. And, you know, it's still, like,
available for sale?
Movie. It's a little bit scratchy over there.
Would you mind if we posted it on YouTube? Is it on YouTube?
Sure. How I don't know if you could you do the whole movie on YouTube, like a 15, 20-minute movie?
Well, Howie will figure
out.
Yeah,
if not YouTube, then one of the other videos.
Vidster or something. Yeah. We could figure it out.
You know what? If you want, later on, tell me how to do it. In other words, the DVD, I could probably make a copy and send it to you.
Great.
And then a few years ago, when that, like, there was a little web Facebook page for the movie, I sent out copies to about 20 people. You know, I just made copy after copy.
Oh, that's great.
But so what was my point over there? Oh, so what I love about the movie now is that when you watch it, you're looking at the camp in its golden age.
Right.
Right? Nothing's falling down.
Oh, yeah, it was
you know,
heyday.
The waterfront, we had a scene in the waterfront, so you see the beautiful waterfront, the lake. And the kids, everybody's young. Like, here's Michael Morse. He's 11, 12 years old in the movie. You know, it's really, you know, fascinating stuff.
Best lake of any camp in Wayne County. Our lake was just amazing.
Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. We used to go canoeing on the lake and then take them on the Delaware River. You went on the Delaware River, I guess.
Yeah, we always would. I mean, we would do that every year and never really loved it, but I don't know. I mean, Howie and I and three sets of brothers, me, my brother, Howie, his brother, and another, Adam Liebner, his brother, all go on a canoe trip now. We call it a canoe trip. There's a little canoeing. But we do it every year now. We hated it. We remember hating it back in the
It's ironic. It's the worst thing about Swago, but it's the thing that created the continuity of keeping Swago going.
22 years in a row we've done it. We just love it. It's our highlight.
Swago, do you remember the overnight canoe trips?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, as a seniors, you go down to Port Jervis. And then you eat in that Chinese restaurant over there.
That I don't recall. I don't think I ever made it to Port Jervis. I don't recall that.
Okay.
No.
All right. So of all the sort of switching questions here, of all the campers, as when you were head counselor or even the intergroup leader, who was like the craziest, like the who was the one that you just
the legendary bad guy
that you just was scared of almost?
Well, you mean like the weirdest?
Yeah, just the most out there.
The one that caused you the most alarm.
The craziest. I don't know. I really shouldn't say.
Oh, come on. They're not listening. Chances are they're not listening.
The four craziest
I got top four. That's good.
Are lawyers now.
All right. There you go.
I'm
being
sued by them over here.
All right. Fair enough.
You're very diplomatic. I'm a lawyer too. I can defend
you, Arnie. You're very diplomatic, Arnie. I like that.
I'll tell you like one story that I forget. I'm trying to remember who it is, but a real outlandish camper, okay? And for some reason, he was late coming up to camp, maybe about a week or 2 weeks, something like that. Probably was in jail, you know, something. But so what happened, somebody, one of my, you know, little spies over there, said he's going to bring up liquor. He was a senior at the time. So when he came in, I had him bring his suitcase in to... You know, HQ, I was head counsel then.
Right.
And I opened up the suitcase over there, and there was like two bottles of scotch.
Scotch yet? You know, the guy's not even bringing like, you know, vodka.
Right. Well, one bottle of scotch, something like that. Right. So naturally, I confiscated it and sent him, you know, to the camp. I probably didn't even tell Dave, and I think he would have been pissed that I, you know, didn't tell him.
Right.
But, and then I think the adults, drank the, the scotch.
Yeah, well, it was aged 18 years. Why not?
Some free scotch. Come on. Now, did you make any friends, any contemporaries from camp that became long, you know, lifelong friends? Paul Broad, for example, was he?
Okay, Paul's older than me. Okay, so let's say I'm, you know, an 18-year-old counselor. Paul is like, you know, 30 or
oh, he's got you
was.
By a handful of years.
Right. So it's enough so that even when I was, let's say, you know, 30 and working in the camp, he was like in his 40s. So we were kind of like camp friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we didn't go out. Or let's say Stan Feld, you know, was a little bit older. Or
right.
Rory,
mm-hmm.
you know, Pierce, you
right.
know, whatever.
Right.
So let's say my contemporary friends might have been an Artie Tepper or Mike Lustig, you know, a few guys like that. Even, let's say, a guy like Cobbs was a couple of years younger, and Cobbs also being a former camper, he knew everybody very well his age.
Right.
You know, so I was sort of like an in-between, you know, thing. But I had maybe three or four fellas who I palled around with, but it was always like a camp, you know, friend. Nobody really became a friend for life, if you know what I mean.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? I think that you have to start young.
I think you have to be a camper. I think that's a camper thing. I think, you know, being a counselor is a whole different animal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, let me see. I'm trying to think of some good stories that I could, let's see, tell you over there.
Was Johnny Lieberbaum, he was around in your day, did he make an impression on you? Do you recall Johnny?
Well, okay,
Is he in that four that you were mentioning before? Because he's not a lawyer.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, some of the guys who I thought, you know, were not the happiest campers, you know that expression, but really the not the happiest campers, you know, seem to just, you know, are so in love with the camp today, you know, 40 years later.
Right.
You know, like, so I think Johnny, you know, is like that, and I'm trying to think who, Scott, you know.
Scott Bernstein.
Right. Scott Bernstein. So there was, like, a whole bunch of campers who were not happy, not terribly happy, and I think that, you know, they felt that they were maybe being dumped, you know, in the camp for the summer,
off,
and the parents were off. You know,
well, they probably were. They probably were, but I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's very, very possible. And so, let me see.
What about Moose?
I remember him well. I absolutely remember him well.
What about Moose? Was like Moose somebody that was in your day? Like, how did you perceive him from the head counselor role?
Moose,
or, you know, Moose?
To me, Moose was a very outgoing, you know, guy. He loved being called Moose. Okay, I mean, it was just, you know, it fit him perfectly.
We heard it was supposed to be Mule, though. Like, the original name was Mule, as per Ed Berg.
and you know something? I'm trying to remember the story. I was listening to your story about Moose getting, getting the letter, you know, the sweater.
Right,
yep, the color thing. And he probably would have made a terrific Kalua leader.
Oh, yeah, in retrospect, sure.
Right, and in spite of, you know, that disappointment, he's, you know, probably, you know, maybe the biggest fan of Swago.
There is. I say the same thing, because even before there was an internet, because now it's relatively easy, everybody's on Facebook, so you could all find each other. But in the 90s, like, Moose was the guy who was keeping a mailing list,
keeping,
you know,
everyone
knew everyone's address, their
right,
phone numbers.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
You know, so God bless him.
I have to say, just Arnie, the quality of your call and not just sort of getting off, it's, I think we're going to have a very good quality broadcast here.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds really good. You're very crisp.
I've got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, me too.
We did two by ourselves the last two episodes, and the quality was bad, so I put a little time and effort into figuring things out, hopefully.
I appreciate it. And anytime you want to stop, you know, let me know, because...
Oh, it's Arnie. The world wants to hear. and listen, now that we could do the call-in, you know, you're always welcome back whenever we do.
I appreciate it very much.
You know, you're a name that comes up a lot. I mean, when we talk to, we've had a few other guests on. We've had Eddie Burke on.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Moose on. We've had Robert Krause on. You can't call him Bobby.
You can't call him Bobby.
Oh, you can? Mm-hmm. All right, you can't call him. And your name comes up consistently. And I thought it was interesting how much a part of Swago you are, but you weren't a camper. I mean, you're one of the few people.
Never a camper, but...
Yeah.
I really love that place. I mean, you know, I'm giving you capital L-O-V-E. Loved the camp. Not only the beauty of the place and the way the bunks were set up and the lake and everything like that, but the liveliness of it and the kids. And I could be with the kids, you know, all day. And what was great for me, let's say when I'm a group leader, okay, let's say I would make my own schedule. They would kind of like let me do that. Like, I'd come up in the morning and look at the schedule, and it would say, you know, badminton from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock. And I'd say, you know, no, let's play football instead. And so I would kind of do what I wanted, you know, which is what the kids, you know, really wanted also. So, I mean, I can remember the happiest day would be when the buses came up, and we were taking the trunks and putting them under the rec center there, right? You remember
Social
that?
Hall. Yeah.
And then the saddest day was like maybe 2 days before we were leaving, when everybody went back and dragged the...
Yeah, it sucked.
You know, and then when the kids left to go home on the buses, towards the end, the last maybe 4 or 5 years, I would stay up there. You know, I'd stay there for like a day or two, and just hang out a little bit or help Dave a little bit, whatever. And it was sad. I didn't want to stay. You know,
it's probably just so empty.
It was like an empty. It was like going to a funeral almost. You know, until till the next year, and then I would wait. In September, Dave would go on a trip with his wife Rita, and I'd wait for school like October or something, and we'd start again.
Yeah, we would count that stuff down from like Labor Day. We'd be like, all right, 10
amazing
more months.
Stuff.
Yeah,
amazing.
I love the place. All right. Well, listen, Arnie, you've been great about coming on. I'm hoping the quality of the phone call is good. I think it's going to be. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And like,
we're going to get a lot of like questions on Facebook from this. You were a beloved figure at Swago for sure. And
we're
psyched that you are our first call-in guest. I think we're Howie and I. I mean, just as a testament to how much we love Swago, we love doing this. We're having the best time. Like just catching up and talking Swago stuff, and
it's a unique idea. Have you tried to get a hold of Paul or
Cobbs? Cobbs is the other one.
Not
that
yet,
keep recommending.
But we're going to just keep going down and talk to all the great people that we want. You know that everyone wants to hear. You know,
I'd like to get Stan Feld. You know,
definitely.
Yeah, maybe drive up there and talk to him. But yeah, no, we're gonna try to get everybody we can and thank you for like breaking new ground for us.
You're very welcome. I'm gonna listen to your podcast religiously from now on.
All right,
we love it.
Thanks so much, Arnie.
Like all right, thanks, Arnie.
Great to talk with
guys,
you.
Guys, thanks for thinking of me, okay?
No. It's an honor. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, be well.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
That's how it is, man. That's how it goes down here.
Arnie Heller, that was amazing. Was that not amazing?
We're bringing you the Swago legends. We're bringing y'all.
That was just beautiful. I think our first, I'm just...
I just pray it sounded as well as I think it did.
Wow, right. That was awesome.
Well, he was great. I just hope, like, sound-wise, you can hear the phone. I mean, it seems like he could hear us, so I'm assuming everything was cool. But that was
what
that was
a great perspective to hear. And you know what? I think that little beep you hear.
Those beeps you hear. Somebody posting on Facebook.
You know, Arnie just posted. He was happy to be here. We loved having him as our egg, just as a guest. But
yeah,
if you have any questions, let's get some interactivity going here. Post it on Facebook. Tell us. Ask Arnie what we missed, if we missed anything. I mean, it was just a great conversation.
And guys that we don't know, like,
the Cobs of the world.
Right. Like Arnie was, you could tell, like, he was a little like, oh, where's this, like Alan said, is it Borat that's going to be interviewing me? All love and respect, man. You come on, it's all good stuff, and we're gonna have a good time and talk about Swago.
If that worked as well as I hoped it did,
I think it did.
We've got the
secret formula.
We've got a capability now that just expands our universe.
Mm. We're taking over Wayne County.
We're the fucking best podcast in Wayne County camps. Is that? I think we can say that.
Do you think we're the only camp that has a dedicated podcast to it?
I would think that since we had a radio station, it might be likely that people might do podcasts. I don't think it would be out of sorts for a camp to do a podcast. No, I don't think.
But that's my question.
Oh, best?
Do you think we are, you and I, Ski Slope, is the only podcast that's dedicated to a particular camp, some sleepaway camp?
No, I don't. I think somebody's radio station is also putting them out as podcasts. For example, if we were at SGO right now,
you would record it.
You might be making it as a podcast to throw out there to your parents and folks.
All right. Right.
But
the only camp that's closed down for 30 years.
And alumni, we are the. I would be willing to bet that we are the only Wayne County. I don't know if I want to step beyond Wayne County.
It's a big county.
Wayne County alumni podcast. I have a question for you. I was talking about just camp and stuff with one of my very dear close friends, Mr. S. Weiss, who you know very well.
I know S.
Beautiful, beautiful human being.
He's the man.
He is. He went to Tyler Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have any recollection of Kiyuma. Did Tyler Hill not participate?
We beat Tyler Hill.
He claims he has some access to some records that prove that they beat us 87% of the time.
When we were first-year seniors, our first round, we beat Tyler Hill.
In Kiyuma. Interesting.
We lost to Lavi in the second round.
It just would be shocking
we thought we were going to definitely beat Lavi, get to like the semifinals, whatever it was going to be next, and we were like, we were on our way. We were actually going to win the thing.
One would think that every camp in Wayne County was participating, so.
All right. That's what made Kiyuma. That was the granddaddy of the tournaments, wasn't it, the Kiyuma?
It was by far the biggest. Right. I mean, I don't even think you could. There's nothing that even came remotely close to it.
I do see some Equinox photos now of the hockey tournament.
Yeah, well, it's later on.
It's later on. You know, some of the like younger the guys at our camp. The camps have hockey jerseys now. It's
you know what
crazy.
Though? Think about how your brother Mangialuzzo, that crew, they really got into hockey. They had that rink.
Yeah, Mangialuzzo.
That we didn't have Mangialuzzo in particular. We didn't have that rink.
No.
For our earlier years.
That was
years.
Sheldon's one good thing.
Sheldon brought a hockey rink.
It was every week.
Uh-huh. I don't remember ever playing
it was.
That
I remember, this is what caught my attention when I was like in 83, like our last year, like the cover of the yearbook, I think. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think I'm right. The cover of the yearbook was the upcoming like hockey rink for 84 was on the cover of the yearbook.
So he was like...
He was touting.
The year it went out of business. He was pitching
I guess he put the hockey rink in between 83 and 84. So it was one summer where it was actually used, but that was it.
Let me ask you something, and this is this is a relevant question to just culture and today. So even today, in here we are in 2013, you're about to send one of your children to camp. I don't know if they still do the in-home interviews at the same way they did in the past, but let's just say they do. And two gay men or Sheldon shows up in your home. I mean, are you going to send your kid to that camp? Is that going to influence your decision, just being honest?
All other things being equal, no.
It's just a fact. I mean, am I trying to be homophobic? I'm not.
No. And is that homophobic? Like, suck because you say that? Like, I don't think so.
No, if you could choose traditional versus atraditional.
You know, I will say, though, if it was like a guy.
Is atraditional
a
word?
Listen, let me put it this way. If he had the camp and it was running, and like it was like a 40-year run, and he's been the owner for 20 years.
Fair enough.
And the shit's rocking right. And the kids love it.
Do you want to be the guinea pig?
I don't want to be the guinea pig. I don't want to be like you just bought the camp 2 years ago and now you're testing it out. But if he definitely had it running and it was smooth and all was good, I'd be like, yeah, it's no problem.
What do you think was going through Sheldon's mind? We've discussed this. What do you think he was actually thinking at the moment? Let me buy this camp.
You know, people speculate that it was like he wanted the camp to shut down.
And
I think that's bullshit,
that's
right?
That's
like, too really? You're going to invest that much money just to sort of have privacy?
Forget that. Well, no. What do you think? He was buying it because he had a vision.
Maybe he thought it was a good deal. Maybe he got sort of, maybe he was over-biased in terms of when the noise from the camp annoyed him. He thought it was like a rocking camp, you know? So it was like, oh, this would be a good thing to get into. And Dave was probably willing to, you know, part with it at a good price. So he probably went to his accountants and they looked at the numbers. And maybe the numbers made sense from a pure financial
perspective.
From Dave's
side, I'm sure they did.
From Dave's side and from Sheldon's side too. Like, because Sheldon was probably getting Dave on the cheap, you know, because Dave was at that point really needing to sell. I would think. So, you know, probably from a number perspective, I bet it made sense, the deal, but
all right.
They didn't factor in.
I know no one can answer this. This is pure speculation, but right. If Arnie Heller and Paul Broad had purchased Camp Swago,
it'd still be here.
Yeah, I think so too.
It'd still be here. I mean, that's the craziest thing is, you know, listen.
Arnie, that's the ultimate statement.
Listen,
I think thank you. The thank you.
It is.
For everything being on the podcast, of course. But
definitely.
The thank you is that statement right there that you could.
And that's not that for being on the podcast. That
no,
would come
no, no,
anywhere.
That,
you know?
Yeah, this is
and genuine. I don't even know Paul Broad. Like, I don't even know who Paul Broad is, to be quite honest. Yeah, I don't think he was there when I was there. But
no,
like,
he was earlier on. I think he was.
But everything I hear from about this guy is he should have been the guy.
We have to. I think he's next.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll talk to Arnie and see if Paul would be willing to come on.
Or just email Paul.
I don't know.
Hey,
Paul. I am not.
I'm Howie. Arnie was on our show.
If you have his email address, I'll do it.
Oh, he's not on Facebook?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's do that. I think you should do that. This is a great night.
This is fantastic. Had a great time. Really, I'm just like enlivened by it all. You know, there's.
So please, we'd love to get some interaction. Arnie's going to be listening. Obviously, he's available. He's on Facebook. You have any questions we didn't ask? Throw them out. This was a fucking amazing night, Moi.
It really was, Alan.
Right,
it really
man.
Was. Here's to it, brother.
All right, cheers.
Well, we're going to toast you out.
Into episode 8.
Episode 8 is in the books. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Peace and love.